Could you maybe start off by telling us how long this issue has been going on for? Is it, I mean, it's presumably it sort of goes back to the Barroso's commission, does it?
Yeah, I mean the revolving door at the European level has been a problem for at least a decade, if not longer. And whether it's commissioners, MEPs, or officials, there's a very lively and active revolving door between the public and the private sectors, and that causes us some real concerns about conflicts of interest and in whose interests our politicians and officials are acting in.
Okay, and just to be clear, for readers, I mean, what are we talking about when we're talking about revolving doors? We're talking about senior staff going off and taking high-paid jobs elsewhere and using the experience they gained in Brussels and contacts as well, I guess.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's the know-how. The insider know-how, the contact books, that kind of thing that people can take with them and can then use either directly themselves, or they can tip off their colleagues on how best to make a lobbying approach, perhaps, or how best to influence something, or how best to take advantage of a new policy or consultation, perhaps. So it's exactly that kind of thing.
Okay. Is there any evidence that people have kind of misused their positions when they go to these new consultancy roles and make contact with the commission?
Well, it's always really hard to map
Mm.
that exactly. You never quite know who has picked up the phone to who. You never quite know. But for us, the risk is there with the potential of it, and I think it's pretty obvious to most people that there is a risk. When people move from perhaps a position where they were regulating a sector or in charge of making policy for a sector, and then they go and work for a major business or a lobby consultancy on exactly that issue, there's a clear risk there about abuse of power and conflicts of interest. And for us, you don't need the evidence that actual wrongdoing has occurred, that the problem comes with that actual situation of a conflict of interest, and that's why we say there should be tough rules in place to prevent certain kinds of job moves through the revolving door.
Okay. Can you just be clear about why you think this is a problem? So it's things like conflicts of interest.
Yeah, it's conflicts of interest, and I guess when we talk about the revolving door, of course, that works two ways. So we see a number of problematic appointments of people moving from industry to work, for example, in the commission in roles where they are responsible for areas which they used to work on for corporations. So a clear concern there that people might not be acting in the public interest, but might be biased and bring their pro-industry views to that role when actually they should be acting in the public interest. That's one clear example. And then when people leave, yes, it's the conflicts of interest that can result when and perhaps the advantage that can result when you have people working for you who just a month or two ago were somebody that you would lobby, and now they're on your side and they can give you all the advice and all the inside know-how and contacts exactly how to make your case better than your competitors, perhaps, and better than those that are fighting on the public interest of politics. And those are some of the concerns that we have.
Okay, but I mean, I guess there'll be people out there that will perhaps not understand why it's such a problem, especially as this, surely this happens in other civil services around the world, doesn't it?
It does happen in other civil services. There's the revolving door problem in the UK certainly, and I think in other member states as well. I think what is of particular concern at the EU level is that Brussels is the lobby capital of Europe. It's probably the second biggest lobby capital after Washington, D.C. There are a huge number of lobbyists running around Brussels, attempting to influence what goes on. There are a number of different ways in which lobbyists are actively working the system, and the revolving door is just one of them. And when there is a mismatch between the amount of power and the responsibility and the decision-making power that particularly the Commission has, and its lack of direct democratic accountability, there's a real problem. There's a real problem there. Remember, the Commission is initiating policy, making policy for 500 million citizens across Europe, and there's a massive interest of big corporations, big business, and NGOs and others to be in there influencing it. And the revolving door really does give you an advantage.
Okay. In terms of commissioners and senior commission staff, how widespread has this problem been over the last 10 years? Can you put a number on perhaps a percentage of staff that have left and gone on to these consultancy roles?
I can't put a specific figure on it because the Commission is not open and public about it, and so we collate information about specific cases as we come across them, but it can be quite hard to find information in a sort of consistent and consolidated way. But I mean, on our revolving door watch website that we run, we have some very recent cases of officials moving on to lobby firms or to big business interests. And what's interesting about some of those cases is that sometimes they haven't even left the commission. They go on sabbatical from the commission, and we know of officials who are now working for Saudi Aramco, the biggest oil and gas company in the world, working for Apple, again in roles which have been closely related to their commission roles, but have been doing so on sabbatical. And I think that is a particularly sort of egregious abuse of sabbatical rules and a real concern. Where commissioners are concerned, it's easier to be more precise. Because there's a limited number of them, and because now there is a degree of transparency. Last year, we wrote a report and we mapped over 100 different moves that the ex commissioners who had left when the last Barroso Commission finished. So that was from November 2014 onwards. And we mapped, yes, as I said, over 100 different moves that these commissioners had undergone. That's 26 of them, and we found that at least 9 of those 26 commissioners had gone into roles where there was a strong where there were strong corporate links, and we have flagged up some of those roles. What is a sort of interesting for commissioners is that there is this 18-month cooling off period.
Yes.
And that means that, well, it's really a notification period that for 18 months after they've left office, they need to notify the commission about any new proposed roles, and they need to seek formal approval from
this
the
is
commission
just for
for those
commissioners.
roles. This is just for commissioners.
Okay, yeah.
And as part of that, there is also a ban on lobbying for 18 months, although that is very narrowly drawn, and there are ways around it. But because those rules finish at the end of 18 months, that date was the 1st of May 2016. And so now we are seeing the really problematic revolving door cases coming through, because those commissioners know now that even though they are still entitled to a generous transitional allowance from the commission, that is currently, they haven't that entitlement to 3 years. Actually, their technical obligations under the Code of Conduct for commissioners last only for 18 months, and they no longer have a requirement to notify the commission.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess it's important in the Barroso case to point out that he didn't actually do anything wrong, did he?
That's an arguable point, because the code of conduct says that he should that he only needs to seek permission for 18 months. So arguably he didn't need permission, but in the actual treaties of the EU, Article 245, to get technical, okay, it does say that former commissioners have a duty to behave with integrity and discretion as regards the acceptance, after they have ceased to hold office, of certain appointments or benefits. Okay. Now, what is exactly meant by that? It isn't clear in either the Code of Conduct for Commissioners or that treaty article itself, but arguably we would argue that Barroso has not behaved with integrity or discretion by taking this role with Goldman Sachs. And so I think,
I mean, is it the fact that he's taken the role, or is it the fact that it's weeks after the 18 months expired?
It's that he's taken the role, right. And I suspect there is no coincidence that he has taken the role after the 18 months has expired. I suspect he didn't want to read the opinion of the ethical committee, which advises the commission on such roles. And so he and Goldman Sachs decided to wait for 18 months. I think that's very plausible. But fundamentally, we don't think he should have taken this role. Goldman Sachs is a very controversial company. It's been fined, I think, $5 billion in an agreement with the US authorities over its involvement in subprime at the beginning of the very much part of the financial crisis. Goldman Sachs is a big lobby player at the EU level and elsewhere, and it's very inappropriate and unbecoming of an ex-commission president to join such a firm and in such a role. And also, I think, is really a reflection of just how closely intermingled big business is with people, particularly at the top of the EU.
Fine. Okay. And so what's, presumably corporate Europe observatory think not enough is being done to clamp down on this. Is that the case?
Yes, exactly. I mean, for years we've called for a revision of the code of conduct and to tighten up the rules. And this case really exemplifies why that needs to be. 18 months really isn't long enough, because Barroso is not the only one that has done this. Very recently, we saw the ex-digital agenda commissioner, Neelie Kroes. She has just joined the board of Uber, and also Salesforce, another big US tech firm. Practically the day after the 18-month deadline passed, we've seen the former trade commissioner join ArcelorMittal, the major mining giant. So this is a real genuine problem, and it needs action. The code of conduct needs revising. There needs to be far tougher rules. We call for 5 years ban on such moves for commission presidents, 3 years for other commissioners. But generally, we feel very strongly that the EU, particularly the Commission, but its other parts as well, just need to really reflect far more upon this, as I say, this close relationship that is there, this acceptability of big business and this close relationship with big business, and really create a culture change where this is no longer acceptable.
Okay. But I mean, is it realistic, in your opinion, for the commission to regulate itself, or would you like someone external to
Yeah,
tell the
that's a
commission
good
how it should
point.
behave?
That's a good point because turkeys don't vote for Christmas, and we already saw that one of the first reactions from President Juncker's spokesperson to this the announcement of the move by Barroso was to say, oh, well, there won't be any revision to the code of conduct for commissioners. It is those commissioners themselves who need to agree the new rules that govern them. And so, as you say, there's a fundamental problem there, and we have demanded that there should be really independent decision making in this area. I think our hope in this case is that you know things are so fragile within the EU at the moment after the Brexit vote. We were very, I think, encouraged by what the French European minister said about this Barroso move. He came out with some very critical comments, I think, addressing the French Parliament. And it's not just the Commission that can do something about it. The European Council can also do something about this, or the EU Council can do something about this. And I think that would be it would be very, very important. There's action that's needed specifically in the case of Barroso, but there is, I think, a wider issue before before the Juncker Commission leaves office. These rules really, really need to be tightened up.
And how much do you think revolving doors feeds into general Euroscepticism in light of the Brexit vote?
Yes, I mean, I think we have, we've been asked this question on a number of occasions, and I think it does contribute to that sense of what is the EU about, and what decisions are being made. Are they being made in the interests of me and my family and my community, or are they being made in more self-interested reasons? And I think it's understandable that there is such an uproar about this Barroso move, and I think there is, if the Commission continue to close their ears to the sentiment around them, then I think they will regret it.
Okay, and just a final question. The European Ombudsman has been quite vocal on this,
Yes.
but still nothing has been done. Are they doing enough, do you think?
Yes, the European Ombudsman, I think, has played a really strong role. She's looked at revolving doors at a number of different levels, and I think is a very strong advocate for tough action. And to be honest, I really welcome the statement that she made last week, and the work that she's done on this issue more generally. Her position is she can't force the Commission to do anything, but I think by using her high-profile position to raise these issues and demand action, she really does up the pressure on those that can do something and should do something.
Okay, Vicky Cann from Corporate Europe Observatory. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you.